In his 2008 Lenten message released last week, the Pope encourages Christians to give alms, saying Lent is a perfect time for helping the poor. In his letter, Pope Benedict writes that coming to the aid of the poor is a duty of justice, even prior to being an act of charity. He also reminds Christians that almsgiving must be done for God's glory and not our own. Father Robert Ombres is the Procurator General of the Dominican Order based at Santa Sabina in Rome. Tracy McClure asked him to reflect on how the Pope's appeal for almsgiving and self-sacrifice is borne out in this Lenten season and also in the liturgy.
Liturgy means many things. Part of its meaning and its power is it's a drama that we act out in very significant, striking ways, beliefs that normally remain hidden in our lives. And Ash Wednesday, of course, is one of the most dramatic acting out of some of our beliefs. The ashes, the words of a priest in saying, remember you are dust, to dust you will return, make us see in a literal way, make us, put us in touch, literally, with the meaning of a feast and of our lives, which are fragile, immortal, but under grace can be redeemed and preserved forever. And what we do on Ash Wednesday in this dramatic way of receiving the ashes, of begging forgiveness and of beginning acts of penance, we act out most intensely for one day what we'll then carry out for 40 days and of course all the year round. But we need strong reminders every year of what ought to be our normal Christian way of life. Traditionally, there have been, from the Bible, three elements to Lent, and therefore to Ash Wednesday: prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. All three have to go together. Each in isolation doesn't make as much sense, Christian sense, as it does with the others. And what they do, there are ways of asking, how do I stand with God? Prayer. How do I relate to my neighbour, particularly in when he or she is in need? Almsgiving. And how do I regard myself? Fasting. So these are three ways of asking questions of ourselves, but not just in the head, but involving all of us in prayer, giving to the poor, and fasting. And in his message this year, Pope Benedict has chosen to emphasise one of the three elements, almsgiving, although, of course, he takes for granted, and perhaps in other years he'll reflect on it, more intense prayer that goes with Ash Wednesday and Lent, and the practice of fasting. But this year he's chosen to concentrate on almsgiving. And as always, what he says is very biblical, full of quotations from the scriptures, and also very alert to how the Bible has been lived out by Christians, what we call tradition. And I think two things struck me. One was when he said that giving to the poor is a matter of justice before it's a matter of charity. In other words, it would be a failing not to give to the poor. It's not an extra, especially good people might do, but we owe it as a matter of justice to the poor. That's one element, which is rather striking. And the other, which of course ties in with his first encyclical, is that in almsgiving during Lent, but all the year round, we don't just wish well to others, philanthropy, as he calls it, but it's an act of charity, in the strict sense of something which unites us to God and neighbour, and it's the highest form of Christian love. So I think those two elements he's chosen, I think, are profound and very relevant.
One thing that struck me was he said that the things that we possess are not ours, the worldly goods that we possess. And, you know, that's pretty tough stuff for somebody who works, you know, 10 hours a day, 8 hours a day to make a living, puts money aside, sends the kids to school, wants a beautiful house, wants a nice car. You know, that's not an easy message to get across today.
No. No, I think perhaps this takes us back to the need to pray, because left to ourselves, I don't think we're capable of very much, and certainly not of heroism in virtue. But I think each person in his or her life would have to, so we have a scale of duties. The example you gave, if someone's married and works and is a parent, then of course it would be unjust to deprive all the members of his or her family of certain things. It's really, there's no formula, there's no percentage, although traditionally people spoke about tithes, giving to the church. put it this way, whatever one has, one should ask, at what point, without neglecting the duties I already have, am I being called to be first just? As you say, it's a very striking phrase, and I think Pope Paul VI used to mention it a lot, how for Christians, there's no absolute ownership. It's always on trust, or if you like, with a social mortgage, which means one has to ask questions all the time, examine one's conscience, and there's no standard formula for how much one should give. So much varies with each life, but the pressure of a question must remain.
That was Dominican Father Robert Ombres speaking to my colleague Tracy McClure. Jesuit Father Jerry O'Collins is the former Professor of Theology at the Pontifical Gregorian University and author or co-author of more than 40 books, his latest being called Jesus Our Redeemer. He explains why we are all Ash Wednesday people.
Years ago, I met a man who told me that he knew only one thing about Christians. It was something two of his friends at work did once a year. They both go off together at lunch hour, he told me, and when they come back, they have a little ash on their foreheads. What his friends did once a year was to go into a church on Ash Wednesday and receive the ashes. A priest will sprinkle a little ash on their foreheads and say the words, "Remember, you are dust, and unto dust you will return." Ash on our foreheads shows us what we are, people of dust and destined to die. Dust stands for death and for things breaking up. Dust is not like the beautiful rocks we can dig up in the mountains or the lovely seashells we find along the shore. One speck of dust is just like another. It doesn't belong anywhere. It's barely visible and noticeable. In a way, we're all like that, mortal human beings heading towards death. Our lives can even seem pointless and meaningless, like dust about to be blown away. An Arab friend once said to me, "Our lives begin as a drop of seed sown in desire and end as a handful of dust." Thinking that way about the start of life is perhaps a good reminder of how fragile we really are. Why am I here at all? My mother and father need never have met. Circumstances should so easily have been different and never brought them together. 6 years into their marriage, without going into the biological details, another human being could have emerged to take a place in the world. But that new person would not have been me. I need never have existed. We're all Ash Wednesday people. We exist between a drop of seed sown in desire and our end, when we will become a handful of dust. Probably this is the last thing any of us want to be told on a fine Sunday evening. I can just hear my sister-in-law saying, "Jerry, would you please be cheerful and say something positive?" Now, I'm all for being positive. God is extremely cheerful and very positive too. But God is also realistic. We too must be realistic and come to terms with what we are. Death is as important as birth. But we're not just little piles of dust to be blown away finally on the wind. We are much, much more than that, because God loves each one of us and loves us with an infinite and faithful love.
That was Jesuit Father Jerry O'Collins.